Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Mirror, Mirror. It was written by Dean Shamshak, and our game master is Thomas McKeon. This is episode 5, is it not? Yes. I will be doing the recap as my character, Clifton Hawk. So sit back, hold on, the players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Well, I'd almost hoped that the woods would hold a gang of cults, but all we encountered was a local farmer, Herbert Day, and his kids. Of course, the weirdness did present itself as a partially petrified deer. Fowler took some samples to the university to have them analyzed, but there was nothing conclusive, at least not for now. Later, Bamboni and Fowler went to investigate Abner Wick, but found the place abandoned. In the basement, there was a huge hole that opened to an abandoned part of the Arkham sewer system. Nobody wanted to explore it, and I don't blame them. It did seem like someone had been shacking up in one of the rooms, but very little, if anything else, was there. There was one substantial thing upstairs, a 4-foot safe. They were unable to open it, even with the help of Bamboni's magic wand. The combination turned out to be 1690, the year of the witch trials, and inside was an obvious message from Wick to me. Inside were a few books, a manifest, and a note. It read, "The Baron sends his regards." Whatever the hell that means. We were confused. The manifest was a list of all the items sold on November 3rd, which amounted to his entire remaining inventory. They were sold about a month after the events of the Crimson Letters. One of the items was a huge black mirror, the one in Radley's house, the fucking nightmare mirror I hate so much. There was some provenance referring to a Mr. Gerald Olson. We followed the lead, and it seemed to be our best one, but Olson was probably clean. At least it felt that way to me. The mirror had been in his family house, which had been in probate for years. It had been owned by his uncle Abram Jardins, who apparently disappeared near the turn of the century. The house and contents had eventually come to Gerald, and he simply sold everything shortly thereafter. He still owned the property, which he said was in disrepair. He had no qualms about lending us the keys, so I think that's our next step. But before we could do anything, we received a message to go to an abandoned field late in the evening. As if that didn't sound kind of crazy, but without going into too much detail, it turned out to be our ghoul friend. In short, she reconciled with Trent about the death of the other one. She knew it was an accident. And then, most amazingly of all, she turned over to Sterling the goddamned Crimson Letters. Trent was careful not to touch it directly, but he took possession. And then the Germans attacked. Yep, the goddamned Germans. I say that like I know who the Germans are, which I don't. But it became obvious they wanted the book. We managed collectively to take most of them out, but Fowler and Professor Thompson were hit. We barely managed to get away, but we did. And that's where we are.
All right. So you guys are speeding down the road. You've got Felix, you know, put in Felix. Felix is putting the pedal to the floor. He's just driving down this dirt road. In the back seat is Fowler, who's been injured, and Thompson, who's also been injured, and we've got Tommy with Thompson, still trying to press down on the wound of Thompson, but it's profusely bleeding. His entire left shoulder is completely just fucked.
Yeah, get us to St. Mary's.
Yeah. So you're driving in Trent's possession, wrapped up in the burlap sack, is the Arkham Witch Trial papers. So this is a good opportunity as you're speeding down the road to talk about that.
I can't believe we got the fucking papers. We didn't have to even try. They just handed to us. After all this time. Trent, you didn't touch them, did you?
No. Anybody want to hold it?
Well, we'll consider holding it after we see what happens to you in the next couple of days.
What's so important about this book?
Hand him to Fowler. Let him take it. No. Fowler, there is a deadly curse on this book. Everyone who's touched this book has died. Violently.
Really?
So, you call it witchcraft, call it whatever you want. This book is a dangerous piece of work. Any suggestions? Should we take it to the library? To the Miskatonic Library? That belongs to the Miskatonic. Well, no, it doesn't. It belongs to those other people. I forget their names.
I'll be coughing up a bit of blood, and I'll say, yes, the university, get it to...
Well, we'll worry about you guys first. So let's get us to St. Mary's Hospital. You know where it is.
Are you sure should we go to the hospital?
Yes, we should go to the hospital. You want to die, Fowler? You've got a hole in your belly. You've probably already got septicemia. What, you think those German fucks are going to come in there and attack you right in the middle of the hospital?
Vine.
Trent.
What's that?
Give me an occult roll. I need Trent to give me an occult roll. Pass. To pass? Okay, yeah. As they're talking about Fowler having his the top part of his large intestines shot out, you're realizing that the book in your hand, the curse isn't gone. What happened with the Crimson Beast and everything, that's not gone. Because the book is still here. Remember what the ghoul woman said to you.
She says
that it needs to be destroyed.
And she said some words.
So that idea that thought kind of pops in your head when the others are talking about the book.
Did we have a name for her?
Nope.
Can I just refer to her as her?
Yeah, you can just refer to her as her.
She told me that we should be destroying this book. She was emphatic that this book should be destroyed, everyone.
Will it stop people from
shooting? I wouldn't go that far. Well, I'm in pain, so I'm not really thinking too much, but I will say that no, take it to the Arcane Society. They'll know what to do with it. They can properly dispose of it.
Realize that anybody you give this to, you're putting in terrible danger.
Arcane Society is well aware.
Well, I'm against anything like that because I think they're a bunch of crackpots, but you seem to know something more about them than I do.
Listen, Hawk, if this is the book from that you were telling me about back at the house, I don't know why you're having a second thought about this.
I'm having a second thought about turning it over to a bunch of old people that like to do ghost hunting and shit like that. Yeah, I think it should go back to the university where they can lock it away in the forbidden book section for good.
Right.
Well, I don't know fully what went on, but destroying it sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, let's just say I'm not in charge of the whole damn thing. It's a freaking priceless artifact from 1690. I think that, well, come to think of it, I do believe the curse, so maybe it should be destroyed.
I'm not really saying that I agree that it should be destroyed necessarily, but she did also say that she is trying to get through, and that's implied that that's why it needed to be destroyed.
And so she would therefore be Keziah Mason, the witch. That all sounds like so much nonsense. You know, maybe what we should really do is take that to the bank and put it in a lockbox and leave it there until we know exactly what to do with it.
You know, that actually might be a good plan.
Right. Do we know for sure that anyone who has touched it has died? Or is it just...
That's what it seems like.
But that's just what we've witnessed.
Last person to touch it would be the ghoul.
Well, she had it in a sack, though.
Yeah, and she's also dead.
True.
The only real way to know what's within the book is to actually look within the book, the real book.
Yeah, and that one guy went completely insane after looking in the book. I think we should leave it to much more important experts than us. I don't want to have anything to do with that book. You guys could come up with your decision what to do with it.
You said priceless. How priceless is it?
It's one of a kind, priceless. It can't be replaced. It's a bit of history that once it's gone, it'll never be recovered. That's it.
Is that the same as valuable?
It's not like you could sell it for money, but it was up for $30,000 as a price on it.
So why don't we just sell it?
Because it kills people. Where's your morals?
Not if you tell them that it kills people and then it's buyer beware.
It is at this point that Felix has pulled into the actual city of Arkham. He's heading towards the hospital, so you only have like a minute or two to finish up before Thompson and Fowler shoved inside.
My final recommendation is to lock it up in a bank safety deposit box temporarily until we find out where it can go, whether it's to your Arcane Society or to some museum that will make sure that, you know, nobody can get to it.
This is the depression. Are you well off, Mr. Hawk?
No, I'm struggling, but I know that book kills people.
Well, just get me to the damn hospital.
We can't drive any faster than we are, Mr. Fowler.
What is it I'm doing?
I guess getting shot has made you lose your manners, sir.
Well,
and I'm coughing up a little bit more blood.
Well, you guys have arrived at the hospital, and essentially Felix kind of just pulls up in front. Nurses run out and help them along, and they help inside. You're welcome to come in, but once they head into the ER. There's no ER, the OR. You guys can't go any further. They're going to kind of be there until they can surgically remove the bullet and the fragments. Oh,
of course. So for a few minutes, at least, we're all in the waiting room.
Yeah, you guys are in a lobby.
Yeah, we have to fill out whatever information they need.
Mm-hmm.
We probably also contact the police, wouldn't you say?
That's not up to me. That's up to you guys.
No, I wasn't talking to you.
I think, two fellas have been shot.
Well, we've been shot
by Germans, no less.
And we've been shot at by Germans, yeah. Freaking Nazis.
Oh, I hate those guys.
And yes, I do believe the Nazi Party existed at this time.
I'm pretty sure they did.
They did, but we're not at war with them. They were actually a very popular party in 1930.
Yeah.
So lots of actual sympathizers at this point. So I don't think you. Yeah, I don't think you'd associate them with actual Nazis.
Actually, if we've got any kind of racial slur at all, they're probably dirty cherries.
Yeah,
well,
dirty
World War One term.
Well, I've read about them in the newspapers, and my surname is Epstein. I don't like those guys.
I don't think the prosecution against Jews has happened yet, but.
Yeah, but it's still very much part of their ideology, though.
All right. Well, while they're in the hospital, maybe one of us wants to stay here, and the other ones can go put that in the safety deposit box. Actually, I'll just give them our number and calls on our cell phones.
Okay. Shit. Yeah, they'll call your office. Leave you a message about right. that.
On my secretary, that's what they do.
Oh yeah, you don't have a secretary. Just kidding. So they'll call someone. They'll let someone know.
We'll check back in.
Sure.
So is that our choice, or are we going to do something else?
Sounds reasonable.
All right. So we head over to the First National Bank of Arkham.
Okay.
I assume that's
the name. Yeah, I mean it's closed. It's 11 at night, but you're there.
Well, that's right. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah, so I was a little curious as to.
I don't know what I was thinking. All right, we're gonna have to do something with this book.
You could call Sergeant Cagno if you remember. He's friendly with you, Hawk.
Yeah, okay. I'll call Sergeant Cagno. I couldn't remember his name.
Okay. Do you want him to meet you, like, at the bank? Or are you going to be like, are you going to be like, that was a stupid idea. Let's probably just stay here at the hospital.
Yeah, well, or we could drive to the police department. Well, I'll call him from the hospital.
Okay.
Sergeant Cagno.
Okay, so ring. The operator then transfers you, gives him your extension, and he goes, Sergeant Cagno.
Hey, Sarge, it's Hawk. We have a bad situation.
And what's going on?
You remember the details from 9 months ago, the missing book and all that shit?
Yeah, that was the university case.
All right.
I remember that.
We made a contact with somebody out in the field this evening, and they turned the book over to us. We have the original. We're not exactly sure what to do with it this time of night. And then in the midst of this whole thing, we were attacked by, to sound silly, but it was a bunch of Germans. They wanted the book. They shot at us. Dexter Fowler, the investigator, he was shot. Professor Thompson, you remember him? He was also shot. We're at the hospital right now. If you want to come over here. However, this book, this is the kind of thing that people are obviously killing for. So we need some way to secure it.
Wait a minute. The book you're talking about, it's the Cobb's book, right?
Yes.
Why not just give it back to them? It belongs to them.
Because they don't live in this area. This is probably too dangerous a book to give to them. People are killing over this book. You hand it over to them, their whole family would be slaughtered the next day by weirdos that want this book. I think it needs to be locked up somewhere.
Go ahead and give a persuade.
Okay. Oh, what did I get? Let's see. Persuade is... Where's persuade? 25. No, I guess I didn't.
And so he sighs And he says, well, Huck, you know, you're holding on to a piece of evidence.
I'm telling you, I don't want to hold on to it. I want you to take it and secure it.
Well, I mean, if I take it, it's gonna stay here with us. We're gonna have to let the captain know, and we're gonna have to let the lieutenants know. We're gonna have to let the Cobbs and the university know.
That's fine. It just needs to be secured.
And I'm
telling you that there are people that are killing for this book, so it really needs to be secured. And I think that your people need to be put on alert that you guys could even be attacked at the police precinct by these bananas.
Sure. How did you describe them?
German.
that's it? How many?
How many were there?
There were five. You killed three.
There were five of them. You'll find three of them in that field unless their people grab them.
All right.
I tell him where the field is, too.
And he goes, well, I'm going to guess the Krauts are gone. So no need to worry about that. But we'll send someone over to that field just to make sure. Maybe we can get something off the tire track, but I don't think we're going to get anything from there. I'll send over two wagons to pick up the book.
Okay.
So just
now
have it.
There's something else that you need to know. Everyone who has come in contact with this book has died so far.
I goes, yeah. You said that people were willing to kill for it.
Yeah. We're, in addition to some sort of, that people want this book, I have always suspected that there is something on this book, a contact poison of some sort. Don't touch the book. Some of the people that have died after touching this book have had symptoms of insanity. They have had heart attacks. They have had very strange things happen to them. I think that there's something physical on this book that's deadly. And we've got it wrapped up. We're not touching it.
All right. Well,
so it needs to be taken care of.
Okay.
Dr. Thompson seems to think that there may be some good reason to contact the Arcane Society. Do you guys have any dealings with them?
A lot of them are mostly kooks, but with something like this, this is better. This is something that we need to handle. This, you're saying it's a stolen piece of yes. property. You know, that's not something that the Arcane Society even has legal jurisdiction with. So maybe they can consult with the Cobbs approve. I don't know. But right now, the main concern is getting the book within the system. So let me call some Black and Blues. They'll come over. They'll pick up the book. They'll bring it back here, and we'll figure out what we're going to do with it. All right?
Yeah. Good.
All right. I'd go let the others know. They'll be over there, and I'm sure we got a patrol around there. So 5 minutes.
All right. Now I wanna step out of my character for a moment and look around at the other players and say, is there anybody who wants to stop me from doing what I'm doing? Because I'm doing what I think I have to do. You're in the emergency room.
Okay.
Yeah, Thompson and Corey cannot do anything. It is up to Felix, Tommy, and Trent if you want to stop Hawk. Or if you agree with Hawk, just let him keep going.
Well, now, I wasn't party to all this business that happened before, but it just seems to me that it's like someone's handed you a bomb and you're refusing to defuse it.
I'm not a fan of handing it off.
I'm doing what my character thinks he needs to do legally, because he's got that legal sort of tie. But maybe he's secretly hoping that one of you grabs it and throws it in the fireplace.
that thing in the field gave you it to destroy it. I mean,
yeah, I don't think we should hand it off.
That sounds pretty conclusive to me.
I think we should take it back to the house.
You want to take this back to the house where those mirrors are?
Well, now that you say that, I don't think we should hand it off to people who are going to meddle with it and perhaps continue what's been happening.
This is nuts. What kind of crazy town are you running here?
Hawk, are you?
I thought I'd see this.
I was going to say, can we say that you guys are discussing this while I'm talking on the phone so that I don't?
Yeah. So the Cagnus like, what's going on there, guy? So Hawk's on the phone. You guys need to discuss.
Yeah, Hawk, I think we should talk about this for a minute. Pull on your shirt sleeve a bit.
The police are on their way.
We were asked to destroy this. I don't think we should be handing it off. Who knows what's going to happen if we hand it off these arcane society people, and next thing you know, they get robbed, they get all shot, this book goes into the hands of the Germans.
I feel like my hands are tied. But I don't have the book in my hands.
It's my sack. Well, who's in the operating room right now? It's
Thompson and
Fowler. Okay.
And Fowler.
Thompson, Fowler.
Right now it's you, Tommy, Felix, and Hawk.
Tommy, what do you think?
You know what? I got to go use the John for a minute. I'll be back. Don't do anything crazy. I go off to use the restroom.
Tommy.
Why did he walk off to the restroom in that strange, exaggerated comedy? While playing the trombone.
He's cursed.
What do we do? What do we do, Tommy?
I don't know. I think I've voiced my opinion in that if you're telling me this is a thing is worth a lot of money, I mean, it's your book right now is how I see it. She gave it to you. Mm-hmm. I think it's your decision ultimately. But I would just hope that if you do sell it, you will be reminded that I kind of helped you obtain it in some way.
Of course, of course.
Remember me.
I'm thinking we've got two things here. Other people want it. Somebody's telling us we should destroy it because if we don't, bad things are going to continue to happen or will happen. If we give it to the Arcane Society, they could have it stolen from them. We don't know what would happen. And I think we need to just take off before the cops get here.
So let me ask you. So people are saying if you touch this thing, you're going to die.
So they say.
You've just been handed it from that ghoul-like creature. Mm-hmm. Person, sorry. Is she a person? Do I know? Is she?
Odd looking, largish, strong person.
I mean, I don't have any love for her because she shot at me a little while ago.
Yep.
So, but she didn't die from the book. She died from a gunshot, right?
Should we just open it up?
You want to open it?
Let's go somewhere safe. We need to get away. If the police are on the way over here, they're going to take it from us. We should go somewhere safe.
I know you say it's worth money, but it sounds to me like your only options are giving it away or locking it up. Neither of which is going to get you any money, is it?
Right.
No.
So I'd say just burn it. I mean, you know, I don't know, call me a coward, but if you've got something that is known to kill people who handle it, get rid of it.
I want to look at it. I really want to open this book.
I mean, I personally don't have the experience that you guys have with this, so I at this point, I can't help but wonder how much of you guys being overly superstitious.
Is this police station right in the middle of downtown?
The police station is in South Arkham. So, but you guys are currently in the hospitals, and that is downtown. But what's happening is that they're calling a patrol officer to come and pick up the book, and they'll probably be there any second now.
Okay, let's go. I'm out the door, carrying the book.
Tommy, are you telling me you didn't see that thing in the field?
The ghoul?
Yeah, I mean, you saw that thing, that big, like, dog thing.
I thought she was just handicapped.
Are you for real? I can't believe that. I mean, you saw that? If a dog thing gives me a book in a field and says, destroy this, and then Germans appear and start shooting at me, I'm going to destroy the book. I don't know why we're having this conversation. I mean, I don't know what you've all been through with this book, but if it was my call, it goes straight in the fireplace.
So, Trent, you run out of the building.
Yep.
And you look down the street to your right, and you can see the patrol car. It's coming. So what are you going to do? Are you going to run the opposite direction?
I go to the left and take the first alley I can find.
All right. So you go down about a block, find an alley, and currently Trent is alone, unless you guys went to follow him.
I was going to follow, but if he wants to do this alone, that's fine.
No. I nod at whoever wants to come with me. Let's go.
Okay.
All
right. So Tommy is going. What about Mr. Felix?
So I was muted.
You're muted, Mr. Mick.
I'll carry on driving the car.
Because you're just going to sit in the car and wait?
Well, okay, I'll go with them, but only because I just don't know what the hell's going on now.
All right. So
I came here to do a magic show for a few nights. I mean,
well, let's do a magic show.
This is just nuts.
So,
dogs and Germans and mirrors.
So,
so I come out of the bathroom and I'm like, oh no, where did they go?
Yep.
Oh,
darn it! Shit.
So, Trent, let me just explain this to you right now. Okay, so to your right is a brick wall. That brick wall leads to a pastry shop, and then to your left is the actual hospital. Okay?
Yeah.
So you're in an alleyway between these two things. You've got Tommy and Felix behind you. The bag is in your hand. What are you going to do? There's no one else in the alleyway.
Does the alleyway end? Like, does it continue on?
It continues on, but then it hooks a left and it goes behind the hospital.
Wish I had a map. Okay. I'll wait till they catch up to me because you say they're right behind me. And yeah. Felix, would you get the car and pull it around somewhere? Or is that too far? Is it like a would it be?
Well, you could easily pull the car around and then park it within the alleyway.
I'd be happy if you guys don't want to come. You just want to drop me off somewhere. That would be fine. I just think we need to go somewhere and think about this.
I come out of the hospital and walk down the steps, and I see Felix run over to the car, jump in, and drive away. And I'm like, "Oh no, somebody's stealing my car!"
Oh, it's your car. It's not my car. Sorry.
Whatever am I going to do? Damn, they're so slow.
And it's at this point, Hawk, where the patrolman stops you and says, "Are you Hawk?" And you're having a conversation with the police officer as Felix is literally trying to get the car and pull it around into the alleyway.
Yeah, and I'm like moving the cop so that he can't see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well?
I'm driving at a Percy Daniels speed around.
I'm like, we have the book in our hands for a moment, but as I told you, there's a lot of people trying to get a hold of it, and now it seems to have gone.
So, Felix, you brought the car around. I'm going to assume that Trent and Tommy are get in the car?
Sure.
Okay.
I am.
So you guys get in the car, and are you guys going to pull out and drive away?
Well, where is, can I see Hawk from where I am?
Not within the alley, but when you pull out, when you go back and you pull out onto the street, you can see Hawk standing there, hands in his pockets, talking to the officer. Just give him the runaround.
Maybe we should go somewhere shadowy. Wait for him to be free.
Well, officer, I guess I'm going to have to walk over to my office. No, I'm not going to say that because I want him to know that my car. I'm going to head over to my office. If you need anything, give me a call.
No, I was
thinking the Germans. I'd probably go to the police station, wouldn't I? There's dead Germans in the field, or are there?
No, there were no Krauts.
All right. Well, they'll probably want me to give a statement of some sort.
Yes and no. The patrolman's like, but if you don't have the book, the book's why the reason I came. I don't have instruction to bring you into the station. I can't just bring
I'm
you
sorry.
In.
I'm sorry.
He looks at you and he says, "Would you mind coming to the station and giving a statement?"
Sure, it's kind of late.
And he nods because here's the funny thing: he can't force you to do anything. Because it's a sort of voluntary questioning.
I'll tell you what. I'll come in tomorrow sometime, and I'll give you a statement. I'm sorry it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to.
And he nods. He's kind of an older guy, so he's tired, and he's like, "All right." So he gets into his car, and he pulls away to go let Cagno know the situation. Now, I'm gonna guess this is when Felix pulls out, and you see your car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's the plan?
So I'm going to casually, nonchalantly walk over.
We'll smile meekly.
And I'll just be like, "Where did you guys go?" You left me in the back.
The cops were on their way.
I mean, normally out here, you know, I was just in the bathroom.
Do you want to drive your car? Because I mean, I don't have a clue where I'm meant to be going.
I don't know how to drive. Oh,
I'm not from here.
That's your car.
Yeah.
So where are you going,
chauffeur buddy?
Where can we go that we're not going to? Let's assume for a moment that the Germans know who we are. Where can we go that we're not going to? I know.
Detroit.
Why don't we drive out to Uncle What's-His-Name's house and explore it?
Uncle What's-His-Name's?
Uncle, I've got it written down. Uncle,
No, Jeremiah.
Fester.
Abram.
Abram Jardins.
Jardis. Yep, Abram Jardin. So you want to go to his house?
Why don't we were going to do that tomorrow anyway. Mm-hmm. The Germans would have no clue that we're going out there. They would probably don't even know about it. So that's the safest place for us.
All right. That is a good idea.
Who keeps saying that?
for the sake of keeping the group together, because you're going to go to Jordan's house, we will enter into what I've written as the end game.
Oh.
So I need you guys to all be together. So for the sake of it, we will say that Fowler and Thompson, they're fine now.
It's just a scratch.
They wiped all the blood away, and they're like, oh, look, it's just a tiny little scratch. You're fine.
It wasn't even my blood. Look at that.
What's going to happen is that they'll be taking a penalty towards physical action, but they regain 2 HP.
Okay.
I will give that penalty. That was going to happen probably anyways, but just for the sake of it. So we've got 2 injured, 4, you know, sturdy, strapping men. They're going up to Jardin's house, and we're entering into the end game. All right. So, Hawk, you drive up to North Arkham towards the Dunwich Woods, and you come to the area that his nephew, Jardin's nephew, gave you. And he kind of drew a little map, and he gave you the address and everything, and he gave you the key. But you see that the road is completely overgrown. The forest has reclaimed everything. You're going to have to walk.
Well, Disrepair was right when he said it. Well, folks, I guess we're going to have to walk. It's not a bad night, so.
No, it's a little windy, and it may turn into a bad night. But right now, it's not that bad.
All right.
So, you guys get out. Trent's still holding the bag. You guys are walking, and houses deep down this road. It's a ways. Thompson, I want you to give me a power roll.
Power? Not using those dice, because those dice were crappy yesterday. All right, got a 39 out of 60. So not
passed?
Not hard, yeah. So not quite hard, but yeah, I passed.
So what happens is you're walking down the road, you're kind of clutching your shoulder. And as you're walking, your eyes are to the ground. You're trying to see in the dark. And you see that the road has these very thick black vines. And the more and more you walk, you can see that these vines, they start to thrum. Like a heart. And...
Like veins?
Like
it's like veins?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a... And that's when, you know, you're like, oh, what? And you look up. And you see that all of the trees are these black, gangly-looking trees. The bark doesn't really look like bark. It looks like this black, cracked flesh. And what's dangling off of the branches are these big, red, pulsating things. They look like sacs with this translucent skin. And you can see the red fluid inside. It'd be like a fruit if it weren't translucent and pulsing. And you can see kind of the yellow veins as they come from the stem down into the skin. And and they're all over the place. And they're big and they're fat. And they look wet and juicy.
Ooh, tasty.
Yes, ooh, tasty. And then you blink. And everything's back to normal.
I was about to say, shall I do a... sanity roll?
Yes, you can.
Yep.
That sounds like a sanity roll to me. All right. Ooh, I got a 10 on that.
So,
why couldn't this be like last week when I could be dodging bullets? Yeah.
So, because you passed the sanity check, your mind is clear, and so you automatically assume something that brings down, that allows you to keep a level head. Trent has the book. The book could be showing you this. The book could have something to do with this.
All right. So I start eyeing Trent. Does he look like he's... does he look like his mind is wandering or something like that?
I don't know. Trent, go ahead and give me a power roll.
A power roll? I don't think. That's a pass.
You pass, but you have this... Naturally, you have the inkling for it. I know that. But you have this urge to look inside the book. You know that just beyond this book is probably something that no one's ever seen. And it's probably power that's unimaginable.
Does it matter how good my power roll was? Because it was really good.
Yeah. That's all you're going to get. All you're going to get is that there's something inside the book that would probably change everything. You just need to look inside. There's something inside that...
For me or the world? Like what scale?
I will not tell you.
Well, I know that my character is obsessed with the occult and wants to learn and wants to have this kind of knowledge. Can I find a room?
Well, what's going to happen is that you guys, after about another 3 minutes of walking, you come upon a huge, dilapidated mansion. It's crumbling. When the nephew said that the house hadn't been touched in decades, this house is falling apart. The roof is waterlogged and collapsed in on itself. There's trees that are kind of leaning on the building itself for support. The branches have broken through the glass windows, probably from just wear and tear. Entire window sills have actually fallen flat onto the ground, and the grass is kind of overgrown over them. Paint is completely gone. It's just this gray looking house. You can tell it's a similar layout to Radley's house, a Victorian-esque style. But this house is in complete disrepair, and you can hear the creaking of the front door as it swings open and it swings back in the wind.
I guess that's the place, huh?
Looks homey.
Yeah, you didn't even need a key. Front door is just wide open. The lock has long rotted.
So can we step inside? I mean, we want to be careful not to fall in a hole or anything, but
yeah. You step inside. The hard wood has kind of been protected from the rain and the snow on the first floor specifically. But you can see that roaches and mites have completely devoured the carpets. There's huge holes in the curtains from where the moths has kind of laid their eggs and devoured the fabric.
It's a nice piece of property, but they would have to tear this all down and
start over again. Exactly, and you can tell that the nephew just does not have that money. He lives a modest living. All right. So the layout is almost exactly like Raider's house, except it doesn't have the ballroom. That's about it. It does not have the ballroom. So let's start with, if I can find a goddamn map. Here it is. So you've entered from the veranda on into the hallway. So to your left is the drawing room. To your right is the parlor. You've got the dining room in the top left and the library in the top right. Where would you like to go on the first floor?
Library is a good place to read books. Sorry, I don't say that out loud.
Well, make sure, please make sure, there are no globes in the room. If you don't understand why, Trent understands why. All right. I'm sorry. Lay out again. Where are we?
So you're currently in the foyer of the large hallway. To your left is the drawing room. To your right is the parlor.
Okay, well, let's. I tend to go to the right, so let's go to the right, the parlor.
All right. So in this parlor, you see you see furniture that's completely collapsing on itself. This no one has touched this property. No one even came to pick up the furniture after the whole court fight.
I thought that he sold it all.
They sold some of it. They sold what was salvageable.
Okay.
You can see, like, the sofa, like, it's like the wood legs, the gravity just snapped it, and so the entire sofa is just on the ground.
Okay.
You can also see that there is a portrait of who you assume to be Abram. It's a full body portrait. You can see that rain has trickled down from the seams. It's kind of ruined the oil painting, but you can make out his face as this kind of jolly old man.
Okay.
But that's all you find in here. Trent, are you going to break off from the group?
Not initially. Okay. What's the lighting like? I mean, it's a dark building, right?
Dark building. The only thing is the moonlight that's coming through the open windows.
Well, I'm looking at my. I have a flashlight and a lantern. Don't have both with me, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say everyone has a flashlight.
Yeah.
I think I will take a convenient time when people are looking around and slip to the library location.
All right. So, everybody else, what are you looking for specifically in the parlor?
I don't know. Just sort of looking around.
I've actually been keeping my eye out on Trent.
Okay.
So when he slips out, I'm going to follow.
You're watching me.
So.
I'll also be following him too.
You guys right. suck.
Me too. No.
So nonchalantly, Trent leaves, and then Thompson leaves, and then Fowler leaves.
Where are they all going?
Actually, wouldn't it be more a role to see if he can snip away that from is, all that, of us?
Yeah.
We'll say this.
We'll say this. Trent.
I said, give him the role.
Yeah, Trent, give him a.
If you make a hard Trent, no one notices it. You just completely walk away.
Okay. What am I rolling against again?
We'll say. Actually, we'll do stealth. Tom's. So stealth. He'll stealth roll and stealth, and you'll roll. You'll roll a spot hit. Yeah.
Spot hit. Yeah.
My stealth is terrible. I did not make a stealth. I was unstealthy.
Well, because
don't mind me, I'm going to find the washroom.
So, because of the 03, I'm going to count that as a group spot hidden. And so Trent starts to leave, and everyone kind of notices that Trent's now leaving the room just unannounced. He's just
going. Where are you going, Trent?
We should stay together.
We should probably. You're right. Yeah, I was just looking around. I thought I heard a creaky noise in the back.
This place looks pretty spooky. So I think we should all stick together. That way we can stay out of trouble, and we're not too far away from each other. Just because there is trouble.
All right. So
it is at this point that the front doors swing open.
Wind.
You didn't hear wind.
Okay, but they swing open more, or
no? They swing open. They swing and slam into the wall.
Okay.
Was it
boom?
Yeah.
Shit.
Was it particularly windy out or no?
It was a little windy. There's a storm coming.
Okay. I mutter. I say maybe it was just the wind. There is a storm coming.
Fowler, would you go close those doors? Or at least secure them.
Well, do you want to help me there?
You need help to secure a door? It's a freaking door.
I'm injured, as you know that. So come and help
me. All right. And I walk past him and I go close the doors.
All right. You attempt to close the doors, but you can see that the latch is completely rotted. There's nothing holding the door in place.
All right. Is there anything I can put in front of the door? Like a...
Yeah, there's a tin door stopper that you can kind of put between them. Yeah,
I'll just put that there so that
we have to run out of here. All right.
All right. So where to now? Drawing room?
Drawing room's on the other
side. Can I ask a stupid question? Why are we here?
We're following the trail of clues. We don't know what we're here for.
Okay.
And it's a safe place.
This is the place where the mirror came from that we've seen things in Radley's house. And maybe there's a clue here. Maybe there's not. Maybe there's nothing. But we're also here hiding because we don't want anybody to find the book, and nobody would know that we came here.
Thomas, is this the same house that you were referring to earlier on? Where is it? Ridley's house? And then we went down the woods trail. We met the farmer. He had said that he had a house, and then he said something about another house further back.
No, the house that the farmer was referring to was Radley's house. He did not know. Okay. Yeah, he does not. He didn't realize that anyone had moved in.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Yeah. No, this is a completely different house with a similar layout, but completely different house.
Okay.
All right. So,
if there's anything bad in the house, rest assured that this house will burn to the ground very easily. Probably with the spark of a match.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys enter where? To the drawing room next? The dining room? The library?
Yeah, because we walked back into the foyer to close the doors.
Okay.
So the drawing room's right there.
So you've entered into the drawing room. Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Right. So you guys walk in. I need everyone to give me I need Felix to give me a dex roll.
Okie dokie.
You got lucky, Wayne.
Four
of four from a dex of 80.
Alright. you walk through the room, nothing happens. I need Hawk to give me a dex roll.
I can walk on rice paper.
58. My dex is 70. I'm good.
Right. Then you walk into this room. There's nothing really up in here. The drawing room has been completely... any furniture that was in here is completely gone. Except for one object. And it's just sitting in the corner. And it's a mirror.
Fucking mirror. Does anybody have any objection to me breaking that fucking mirror?
Well, Hawk, when you shine your light on it, you see that this mirror, it doesn't have glass in it. It's just a frame.
Well, okay. Is there broken glass on the ground?
Nope. In fact, who here has... no, we won't say that. No one has, like, art crafting or anything like that.
Photography, I do.
I've got art, craft, stage magic, which might include the use of.
Yeah, you know carpentry skills.
Yeah, okay. I guess we'll say that. All right, so give me a roll.
Okie dokie.
So no for calligraphy and poetry.
Doing well. No. Doing well tonight. I just got a 3.
Holy.
Felix, you can tell that this mirror looks a little unfinished.
How so?
It looks like the frame itself, is not complete. It looks like it's all one solid piece of porcelain with a tin back, and it doesn't look finished. Like there's no glass in there. Someone had to slip the glass in. Just someone left a mirror here without glass.
So it's really just a frame.
It's just really just a frame. There's no glass. There's no actual reflective part.
Was there something about Jensen, or whatever his name was, Abram making mirrors?
If you recall, the nephew did mention that he had a penchant for making mirrors. He liked feeling that. It was kind of a hobby.
It was a mirror manufacturer. So if there is something occult about our mirror, then there might be some occult stuff here left. So keep your eye out for anything weird.
All right. Give me one sec. All right. I need my mount. I need Tommy to give me a spot hidden.
Wait, hold on. Yep, got a heart.
Okay. Trent?
Trent, you're muted. Trent, you're muted.
Yeah, no, that was not a pass. That was a shaking the head of the no.
Okay, I saw a head shake. I just wanted to make sure. All right, yeah. So Tommy.
But remember, we have listeners. they can't see a head shake.
So Tommy, you look over as everyone's glaring at the mirror, and you see Trent, and he's kind of weaseling his way back into the hallway.
I'm going to see that, and I'm not going to say anything.
All right. So, Trent, you've made it out kind of by yourself. You're on your own. Where are you going?
The first room we went into.
Okay, so you go into the parlor. Right, so you've slipped into the parlor. What are you going to do in there? You got to make it quick.
Go into a far corner, or a corner that's farthest to be not seen from the doorway.
Okay.
And then slide the book out on the floor,
all right,
without touching it, and use my hand in the bag, the sack, to open the book.
All right.
So because I forgot to get driving gloves out of the glove box.
So you open the book, and very first things that you start to see is you see these odd symbols. Symbols that... if you recall, they're the same symbols that were drawn in Cecil Hunter's apartment, what the linguist at the Miskatonic called the first language, mm-hmm, whatever that may be. And you see these weird, odd symbols and these drawings depicting horrible, horrible beasts. And then you hear a blood-curdling roar. Everyone hears it. And that's okay. When everyone realizes that Trent is not here. He's not in the room.
What the hell is that?
Where did it come from?
You have no idea.
Where the hell is Trent? Shit, Trent has the book.
Oh no.
So we gotta go looking for him.
All right. So you guys leave the drawing room and head into the hallway. Trent, are you going to flip to the next page?
Yes.
So because of this, I need you to take one... Okay, so I need you to take... How much is it? Let me see. I need you to take 3 sanity loss. And okay. I need you to either increase your Cthulhu Mythos by 2 or your occult by 1d10.
Occult by 1d10.
So go ahead and roll 1d10. And then add whatever that number is to your occult.
A 2.
Alright. So you flip to the next page and you see this horrible diagram of a multi-limbed beast with its legs crossed and in its hand it's holding this golden orb. And all these symbols are drawn around it in like a spiral. Group, you see Trent kind of kneeling on the ground, looking at the book that's open on the floor. The book is open.
Well, wouldn't wouldn't me or Henry see him? Because we did try and look for him.
Tommy did the spot hidden, and he did see him, but he made no reference to that.
So if I see him with a book on the floor, I'm like, Trent, close the book.
It's all good. I'm okay.
Okay, so Trent's flipping through the book. He's looking at that second page.
Oh, hell.
Uh-oh, this is not good.
It is at this point that there's another roar within the house. You can't see the clouds, but they move in front of the moon, so it's almost completely pitch black other than your flashlights.
All right, I'm going to cross the room and say, Trent, close the book or I'm going to punch you right in the face.
It is when you lift up your fist and you're halfway across the room that, Cliff, you feel a punch directly into your chest and you fly back into the group. I need everyone to give me a dodge roll to move out of the way.
How about me?
No, you just got sucked in the face. It's just three damage to you.
How much damage?
Three.
55.
You feel your
success.
Yeah, you feel your rib cage like crack.
Oh shit.
My dodge, I got a 99 out of 20, so
I land on Dexter.
Yeah, you land on Fowler. So, Fowler, I need you to take one damage.
Freaking... Watch where you're going.
I feel too bad. I get a 99.
Watch where you're going.
Watch where you're going.
So, Tommy, you're hit in the face with Cliff's feet, and so you take one damage too, and you fall to the ground. Blood trickling from your nose.
Is there a proper noun for a pile of detectives?
A gaggle.
Yeah, it's a gaggle. I need everyone to do sanity except for Trent, because Trent hasn't seen it. He didn't see that.
Oh, no.
Nope.
19.
How much sanity is left?
Everyone who failed needs to do a 1d4.
Do we lose anything if we pass?
Yes, one.
Four.
Now I have to go in my dice bag and find a d4. Well, it's actually a dice box, but...
Just roll a d8 and divide it by two.
I know I have a... Just give me a second. I know I have
you're making way too much noise. You automatically get...
Fine.
So...
I get one.
Trent, do you continue reading the book?
Do I feel compelled to do so?
You want to flip? You want to flip the next page?
Yep, flip one more page. Yep.
You flip the next page, and this one, you can clearly tell, has been... it's actually been transcribed. There's actually English words. And it's a spell... It spells.
Spells.
It's actual spells. So I need you to take 5 sanity, the loss, and then either increase your Cthulhu Mythos or your Occult. The Cthulhu Mythos increase on this will be 5, and then your Occult will go up by another 1d10.
Okay, 1d10. So one or both? Is
one or the other.
I'll take the 5 for Cthulhu Mythos.
Alright. I'm also going to send you something, then, if you think you took the Cthulhu Mythos. If I can find it, probably in my other book. Alright, so Trent is still reading the book, everybody.
I'm incapacitated. I'm on the ground grabbing my ribs.
Stop, Trent! Stop him!
Is there a fireplace in this room?
There is one in the parlor.
The whole building is a fireplace.
Yeah, the whole building could be it could be a fireplace, but in the parlor where you guys are at, there is a fireplace.
Stop, Trent!
I'm going to try and stop Trent.
I'm not responsible for the outcome of that.
What are you doing? They said don't look at it. Why are you looking at it?
Because knowledge is power. No, not knowledge is power. That's a bad thing. Knowledge is important. We can't just throw away knowledge. We can't just destroy knowledge.
This is nuts. This is dangerous. Something
you know about magic?
Yeah, I know about magic. And it's like, you know, and you go in a theater and you do it, and then you go and have a drink, and you go home, and everything's fine. It's not this. This isn't what I do. This is some dangerous Michigos. This is.
Are you just talking to him, or are you approaching?
Yeah.
I'm trying to reason with him.
So you guys are just trying to talk to him, just trying to reason with him?
At the moment, yes. Although in the back of my mind, there is the thought that I could just pick up a bit of wood and hit him around the head with it.
I will shut the book. I shut the book, and I slide it back into the bag, and I say, we can't destroy this, guys.
And it is at that point when you slide it into the bag that the bag literally lights on fire. The book does not want to be hidden anymore. You've awakened what's within.
I don't have gloves anymore.
So literally, the bag crumples into ash, and it just reveals the cover of the book.
Now you've done it now, haven't you? I mean, see? You see what you've done?
See what I've done? Let's go to page 4 now.
Can of worms you've opened.
You want to go to page 4?
Yes.
You saw what page 3 gave you.
Yes. Thank you.
You want to do page 4?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So at this point, I'm going to pull out my gun, even though I'm moving on the
floor. Pulled out your gun. So Trent, you see page 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's 10 sanity loss just from looking at what's on this.
Okay.
So you've reached temporary insanity at this point. So and I'll message you with those details here in just a sec. But you can either have another +5 to Cthulhu Mythos, or you can get another of what I just sent you.
I would like another.
You want another one?
Yes.
I just want to say that I'm going to shoot the book.
You know what?
For the side of it.
I'm like, hey, just stop.
Just. Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking to Clifton.
You can't tell me to stop shooting a gun when I shot the gun.
And there you go, Trent, Jeff, or Tommy. I see your message. So at this point, Tommy and Cliff have drawn their guns, but Cliff has shot.
I draw my gun too.
So go ahead and give me a roll, Cliff.
All right, I'm aiming for the side of the book. It's open, but I'm aiming for the side of it.
Okay.
And I got a 12.
All right. So. You shoot for the edge, and you see it hit the corner of the book, and so you the last few pages now are completely missing a section, and that's when you hear a blood curdling scream. And
male female scream.
It's not any kind of scream you've ever heard before. It's not. So Trent, the book has been damaged.
And you heard this scream too.
I pick it up and run to the farthest point of the room I can get to, and find a way to like grab something I can defend myself with. Because obviously, I don't think I'm carrying my shotgun at this point.
Nope.
I say, Clifton, do that again. I don't want to hear that scream again. Shoot the book again. I will.
I'm kind of holding it against me.
I'm like, stop him from reading the fucking book.
Give me one moment. Give me one sec.
What's going between your eyes, Fowler?
I have my.
Can't you see what's happening?
Okay. Trent, what would you like to do?
I would like to make use of the last thing that you, the thing you just sent me. I was going to respond to that. And I want protection.
Okay. So, all right. So you're standing in the corner with the book clenched around you, and the flashlight in your hand. You're shining it in their eyes. And what would the rest of you like to do?
Can I start backing towards the door?
Yeah, Felix is backing out way towards the door.
Am I recovering at all?
Yeah, you've gotten your breath back.
Okay, I'm going to grab a big hunk of wood, whatever I can find lying around. Although I'm not going to go running at Trent again, because I'm afraid I'm going to get punched.
Where is Trent right now?
He's in the corner of the room. He's by an open window.
And we're all in the same room.
Yes. Except for Felix, who's now walking towards the hallway. We're backing up towards the hallway.
Slowly inching his way away.
Yes.
We have to destroy the ring, Frodo.
Well, if nobody's going to say anything, I'm going to take this piece of the chunk of wood in my hand and fling it at Trent.
You fling it, and whack, it shatters. It shatters in front of you as this invisible force breaks it, and it looks like it's standing directly in front of Trent.
Uh-oh.
Tommy, you were saying
I'm peeing a little right now.
Yeah, you know you Thompson and Trent know what's in the room.
This is the reason why I said I should go to the Arcade Society. I didn't listen to you, Professor.
I'm like, what? I guess, am I looking at this too?
Yeah, so anyone who wasn't part of the Crimson Letters, I need you to roll a sanity check.
I make mine.
Meaning our characters, right?
Yeah. Those who
99, 37. That's a pass.
All right, so everyone who passed, I need you to take one because you got such a critical fail. I need you to do 2d4. All right, so there we go. So everyone, I've sent you guys what you need. The people who have been emailing me or whatever. Thomas,
get away from him! Get away from him! Get away from him! And I start waving my pistol around the room quietly.
Yeah, Tommy is in a violent fit of fear at this point.
I'm going to run to the car.
Okay.
I have my gun out. I'm like,
So. Felix, we'll focus on you really quick. You run down the hallway and towards the front door, and you're about to move the tin thing out of the way when you see these long thin fingers creep between the two doors, and they kind of wrap around the wood, and you can see like a cat's claw from the fingertip, these long spindled claws dig into the wood and drag on it, and they're these gangly red fingers.
Oh shit! I'll run back into the parlor then.
So yeah, so you run back into the parlor. Thompson, what would you like to do?
There goes that plan.
Are you asking me, or are you asking Jeff?
No, I'm asking Thompson.
Thompson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just call me Henry.
I'll call you Henry, because we got Tom and Anna Thompson. So, Henry, what would you like to do?
Does anybody have a gun? Because right now, I'll put it to my head and pull the trigger. Oops, sorry.
There's a sick beat happening outside.
That's evil.
The Crimson Beast begins dancing in front of the faces.
Dubstep, yeah.
The book. Mm-hmm. And Trent, what's going on with them right now?
So, give me a spot hit.
I'm going to burn the place to the ground.
Mm-hmm. All right, I make it. 34.
So you can see that the book in his hand, it's almost like the leather of the book has melded to his left hand. It's thrumping, and you can see that the veins in his hands are thrumping as well. They are becoming one and the same.
I look at his face. His face seemed to have changed like it. I imagine this thing is taking him over.
Yes, and there is a definite shift. He's baring his teeth. His eyes are bloodshot.
Hawk, you're a better shot than I am. Shoot him. Put him out of his...
At this point, I don't think anything can get to him. Burn the place down. I try to start a fire.
You try to start a fire?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull out my... whatever, my lighter and try to get something burning.
I'm like,
it's very easy with this place.
Yeah, if there's like an old piece of curtain or something like that, I'm gonna try to light that and then fling it at him.
Can I try to stop him?
Yeah, go ahead. So it's
like every time he tries to like light something, I'm going.
is there any way I could try and tackle? Tom, is there any way I could tackle Tommy
You're totally tackling me. Tackle him.
No. I want to tackle Tommy.
Tommy. He wants to tackle Tommy. Okay, so you want to tackle Tommy. All right.
I want to tackle Dexter.
Well, it's at this point that Trent leaps out of the window into the front lawn.
He
was by a window. And if you remember correctly, all the windows have pretty much fallen out.
Has he now got his back to us? As he leaps out of the window.
Does he do what? Say that again, Mick?
As he leaps out of the window, does he have his back to us?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a knife at his back.
Give me a luck roll. Give me a luck roll first.
26. That's a pass, yes.
All right, now give me a roll to see if it hits.
Okay. Throw is...
Can I get a luckier roll?
Oh, my throw is 60. I get 16.
Funk.
Yep. So
makes that sound exactly.
So you. So give me a damage roll.
Damage is 1d4 plus 2. Is 5 damage.
Is that more than half of your health, Trent?
No.
No.
1 point above half.
All right. Well, then nothing extreme happens, but. You throw it, and it hits right in the dead of his back, and you hear a crack. And
you're not going to get that out.
And you see him seize up, literally as he's leaping out the window, and then collapse onto the ground.
What have you done?
You said stop him. You said stop him. I stopped him. You said stop him. I stopped him. What do you want?
So as you're arguing. That you hear thump, thump, as you see the floorboards by the window begin to warp and creak as this thing is walking towards you. This thing you can't see.
Well, I shoot at it, whatever it is.
Well, I thought you were lighting a fire.
Not when he jumped out the window now.
All right. So, Hawk, you fire, but to no effect. And any bullet, it just goes through and hits the wall.
Now I want to start a fire.
I pee a little more.
Yeah, start a fire. Start a fire.
Somebody tackle him.
Guys, we are stuck in this house.
I'm going to start a fire, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the same tactic what Trent did, and I will light a fire, and then immediately after, I'll jump. I will literally jump out the window.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, there's going to be no good outcome to this. I'm just warning you now, there's not going to be a good outcome. Okay. So Fowler, you do exactly that. You do exactly that. So, Trent, you're unconscious at this point, but the book is free from your hand. You're yourself again, albeit a little more insane.
That's the one. Okay, everything's fine then.
Hawk, what would you like to do?
That's the key.
At this point, I am running for the front door to go out.
You run through to the front door, and that's when, boom, the door kicks open again, and you see it. The moon comes out through the clouds, and you see the big hulking silhouette of this thing with its multiple legs. Its body, and then you see the orifices open up, and the multi-jointed necks come up with their heads, and you hear the high-pitched squealing as three arms lift up from its back. It's the Crimson Horror.
It's like at the door.
It's at the door. It's kicked open the door, and it's standing there, impending. It's about to charge.
I'm like, oh, thank God! I thought it was Jehovah's Witnesses
or Germ.
God damn it!
It's just you. Well, I'm probably going to fall back.
I have kids again.
Screaming.
Okay, give me a sanity roll.
I'm 96.
Give me a 2d6.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With a roll like that, I have to double the sanity loss.
2d6. I just lost 5. That's not so bad, but
that's temporary. I've
lost control. So what do?
You're just sitting there petrified. You're on the ground petrified as this thing is like looming up towards you, and it's literally now feet away from you. What would Tommy like to do?
I'm going to yell out the window, "Take me with you, master."
Traitor.
Yeah. All right. So you do that. What would Felix like to? Go ahead, Tommy.
I guess I'm going to start making my way to the window to see if I can help Trent.
Okay. So you make your way to Trent. You're still freaking out. You're still panicking. You want to get the fuck out of there. Yeah. But you go out the window, and you can see that Trent is starting to wake up as blood is trickling down his back. The book is free of his grasp as well. It's on the ground.
You should read that.
What do you want me to do? How can I help?
What's happened? I think I've been hurt. Something is stuck in me.
Felix, we gotta pick up the pace here. So, Felix, what would you like to do?
I'm also I'm following Tommy, but not to head towards Trent. I'm heading towards the book.
All right.
And as I do so, I am extracting the flags of all nations from my waistcoat.
Okay.
And
we also want the book too.
With the aim of trying to use two of the flags, for argument's sake, let us say the flags of Liechtenstein and Costa Rica. To cover my hands while picking up the book.
Well, I also want the book too.
Get in line, okay. Buddy.
What flags are you going to use?
So Fowler is out the window as well, but Felix, you're grasping the book, and in your head, you can hear the whispers of the beyond.
Wouldn't I have been closer to the book because I jumped out the window first?
You would, you jumped, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did he successfully light the fire? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, he successfully lit a fire. The fire is in the parlor. It's beginning to grow.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm aiming to do, is to throw the book onto the fire.
All right.
But is there any way that I could maybe make a dexterity or a dex roll or something like that to try and see if I get the book first?
You know what? We'll do high or low. All right. It's like a flip of a coin. So let me pull up my trusty dice roller here. So how about this? Fowler, would you like heads or tails?
I'll take heads.
Okay. Tails. So Felix still has the book. 50-50 shot, Felix still has the book. Felix, you still want to throw the book in?
Yes.
As Fowler is trying to get the book from you?
I want to throw the book into the fire.
All right. You throw the book into the fire, and when you hear the leather pop and the pages begin to burn, Hawk, the creature is in front of you, and it literally bursts into flames.
Yeah, I'm completely
frozen. Yep. It bursts into flames, and you can see the worms, the red worms that make up its body, begin to fall off and dissipate into nothingness until it's completely gone.
You've done it.
You've destroyed the Crimson Horror, and you've also destroyed the book.
I didn't destroy anything.
I was talking about the group. And specifically, I'm lying, Felix.
I'm lying paralyzed with a stupid smile on my face in the middle of a burning house.
I didn't destroy anything. Well, I hurt a bunch of people.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, save Hawk.
Hawk. You hear? So the fire has spread to the walls, into the ceiling of the parlor. And you can hear the house kind of creak and shift, and you feel it shift, like the foundation shift. And you see that mirror that was in there. It falls over. The one in the drawing room, it falls over. And the sound breaks you from your trance, and you look over, and on the back of the frame, you see, written all over the back, is the first language. The same text, the same language that was in the Crimson Letters.
Damn, like Oklov or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I imagine the house now is burning around me.
Yep. But you can make it to the front door, no problem. It's right there.
I'm wondering if I should grab the mirror and then run back with it. I guess not. I'm going to just run out of the house. At this point, I'm going to have to go to a mental institution. Well, I've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 total.
You're 1 point away from needing to be pretty much treated in some form. Trent, on the other hand, needs to be treated at the end of the scenario, 100%. Trent's personality needs to shift in some way.
Well, anyways, I call
as
outside.
As does the knife in his back. That needs to be dealt with as well.
Well, sorry. I wanted the book, but now it's...
Where's the book?
Yeah, so Hawk's run out.
I burnt it.
You burnt it. Good.
I burnt it.
Are you sure it's burning?
I watched it burn.
All right. I guess we got to pick ourselves up. You just leave Trent right where he is.
Felix, if you were to remove the knife from his back, it would stop pinching his muscles and he will be able to move again.
Well,
Would that be safe?
Oh, yeah. You're a professional.
If you push it in farther, it'll solve all of his problems.
Well, okay then. If it's going to be safe.
All right. So you pull it out.
I will wipe the knife using the flag of Burkina Faso.
So, Trent, you're able to move again. You can patch yourself up in the car, but... We're going to say that 5 damage is going to remain.
Okay. Ow.
So the house is burning around you. What would you like to do now?
Let's get out of here.
Well, now we can start working on the actual mystery that we were trying to solve. Where did what's-his-name go when he disappeared from the house?
Yeah. Where did he
go? Well, anything that was inside the house is gone.
Let's just go home and recuperate.
You'd like to go back to Radley's house?
Not really, but okay. Well, I'll go there first. We could go to Trent's house, except that fucking Trent.
So, Trent, would you like to share your knowledge, or would you like to keep that to yourself?
I'll tell them. I'll share what happened.
Go ahead. Let them know what. Let them know what you want.
Well, I'm not going to give you. I read the first page. That's when you first. Second page, there is a. I can't remember exactly what I saw drawing wise, but there was a drawing with symbols and those are archaic words, or arcane words. Third page, I was able to glean some magical knowledge from what I read, which I wouldn't say it. It gave me control of the crimson creature, but I lost my mind, and I just wanted it to protect me because I wanted to protect myself in the book, and I kind of lost it after that. What am I missing?
The next one, the one that everyone likes, at least I like. I like this. I like that little spell.
Oh, the spell! Oh, yes, I. Oh, I wasn't going to say spell. Okay, I did learn a couple of spells, magical abilities I have now. One allows me to stop an enemy for a period of time from harming me, and another to, I guess you would say, dominate. Which would be allow me to somewhat control the persons, bending their will to.
Now, as I mentioned, in my opinion, using spells, while they do have their benefits and their consequences, the major consequence with me is that it's like lighting a candle in the dark. Everything's going to see you. So
with those kind of skills, you could get a job at Madame Leong's.
So,
ooh,
I could tour with the Great Bamboni.
Somebody scratching their microphone?
No, I think it's my paper.
It's your paper. It's noisy paper.
It is noisy paper. Paper tends to be a little noisy, just a tiny bit. So, Wayne has left. I didn't want to mention that, but Wayne's gone. I don't know where he went.
I don't know. I thought he dropped out a second ago, but I thought he'd come back right back.
So we can sit here and we can wait for just a couple minutes, or we can continue. It's up to you guys.
We don't know what happened. How are we going to continue? Where are we going to go from here?
Where you're going to go from here is you're going to go to Rayleigh's house. To Rayleigh's house, yes.
Well, I mean, in the story, are we going to do we have more to do? Are we going to continue?
No, this is the end game. I mean, like, once this happens, we're pretty much done with the scenario. We're in the last portion of the scenario.
Okay. Well, then, can we say that we all go back and we recuperate and
was Trent telling us that in game then? I thought the scenario had ended.
Yes, he was selling it in game.
Oh, okay.
As you guys are making your way back to the car. The one thing I didn't mention to you guys though is that when I received the book, I was told a word by the ghoul woman. She had a special word, and I remembered it, but I don't really know what its purpose is.
Say it.
Sabul. Nothing happens.
Sabul?
Well, it made Wayne disappear. Oh, sorry. I said it earlier.
Maybe that was her name, Sabul the Ghoul. She's Sabul. No fool, Sabul the Ghoul.
Okay. So you guys want to go back to Rayleigh's house to recuperate. Okay.
Right. So that's what we do.
You drive home to Rayleigh's house. It is now pouring rain. It's the wind is whipping up. Here he is. Thank God. Hi, Wayne.
Nothing happened. We were sort of waiting for you, but we're going back to Rayleigh's house.
Okay. Yeah, my computer froze up again.
Okay.
All right.
So the rain is coming down. Thunder's lighting up the sky. Wind is whipping. There's a real storm now as Hawk, you pull into Rayleigh's mansion. You can see that Rayleigh's car, it isn't there. He's gone. He's doing something, clearly. He may be out at the bar. You don't know. All the lights are out. You have to assume that the front door is open since he knows that many of you are staying at the house. Or maybe the maids will let you in. So okay. You pull up to the front, completely pitch black.
So the maids don't use lights?
Obviously not tonight.
It's late now, too, right? It's got to be
early in the morning, yeah.
Middle of the night, early morning.
It was around 10 when you guys did the whole field thing. Okay. It'd be 11 when you guys hit the hospital. Well, I'll say 12:30 when you hit the house up in North Arkham, and then it's only a 30-minute drive, so it's early morning, but it's still dark. It's like 2 a.m.
Okay, but you said the door was open, so we go in. We figure they're in bed.
Yeah, you open the door.
Try not to burn this house down, Fowler.
You open the door. Hey. You walk in.
I hear he once burned down a whole village.
It's deathly quiet.
Okay.
There is something obviously wrong.
Well, we make some noise when we come in. We try to turn on the lights.
Nothing turns on.
Uh-oh. I want to check out that mirror. The one in the ballroom.
Can't even see where that is. So we're in the pitch dark.
I use a flashlight.
Okay. So use a flashlight. You want to go into the ballroom then?
I'm gonna see
the one where that be. Yeah.
Okay. So you begin approaching, and Ballard, you, as you're walking through the hallway, you know where the library is and where the steps down to the basement are. You step in something, and when you, I
shine the flashlight down at my. Yeah, I know. I was shining the flashlight down at my wherever I stepped, and what do I see?
Blood. A big puddle of it. Something is obviously not right in Radley's house.
I immediately call out the guys. I'm like, guys, come here. I think it's important.
Well, I've gone to find the breakers. So I probably went outside, yeah?
Does anybody hear me?
Yeah, everyone hears you, I assume, because they're in the hallway.
Yeah.
So everyone but Hawk approaches, and you guys see exactly what he sees. His foot is in a puddle of blood.
I still don't believe you're a detective.
Does it lead anywhere? Is it just like a single boat?
Give me a spot hidden, Mr. Trent.
Should I grind? Does it lead anywhere? That is a fail. Sorry. Nope.
All right. We'll say Fowler also giving me a spot hidden. You're the one standing in it.
It's blood.
Ass.
The blood, you can see that there's a small trail of the blood where someone was clearly injured and they wandered down into the basement.
I will follow it.
Okay. Fowler just immediately, he just steps out of the blood and he just goes right back to the basement.
I'm going to follow this trail. Who's going to follow me?
Do I get to the breakers?
Oh, yeah. Who's going down to the basement? And then we'll jump to you, Hawk.
Okay.
I'm not staying up here alone. I'll follow at a distance.
I'll go with Hawk.
I'm going back to the hall. I'm not going down to the basement. I mean, after the day I've had, I'm not going down there.
I'm following Trent.
This is crazy. I'm going to just go and stay in the hall, and when the lights come on, I'll go and find some brandy. I've had enough of this. This is just insane.
Okay. So, Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
You, I really hope we get to do this by the time it turns 10, but you go around the house, flashlight on, rain pelting your hat and your coat, you kind of lifted it up to cover your head, and you're searching for the breaker. And you see the breaker. And you flip it open and you start flipping switches and nothing turns on. And then you lead the light up, and you see the big, I wouldn't say it's steel, I think it's tin. The wiring that leads up into the breaker, it's completely chewed through.
Holy crap.
Fowler and the group that goes into the basement. Pitch black, muggy, the furnace is not going. So it's dank and cold down in here. You follow the blood, Fowler. Do you wish to know where it goes?
Yes.
You're following it, and it leads into the kitchen. Does the group wish to go into the kitchen? Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have your weapons out?
I want to have my stuff.
I have my weapon out.
My back hurts, but I'll
shotgun. How about you, Henry and Tommy? You guys gonna pull your weapons out?
Henry was with me, right?
Henry's with you?
Yeah, I said I was. Yeah,
okay. So you guys are outside. How about you, Tommy?
Yeah, if I see everyone else taking their guns out, I'll take my gun out too.
All right. So you guys pull out your guns and you begin walking towards the kitchen. Felix, you're standing out in the hall.
Yep.
You feel...
Yes, I'm having a cigarette.
You feel a drip hit your shoulder.
Oh.
Fowler, you and the group walk into the kitchen, and you shine your light through the kitchen. You're not seeing anything until you point in the closest corner to you, and what you see is Bree, the maid, completely devoured except for her upper torso and a part of her head. And you can see jagged crystals sticking out of her forehead and her mouth and her breasts. And Felix, do you look up?
Felix? Mick?
Sorry, was that... sorry, you cut out for a moment there, Thomas.
Felix, would you like to look up?
He's thinking about it.
No, I'm going to go and walk into another room where it's drier.
So you begin to walk, and that's
clearly
when you...
leaking.
When you feel a whip around your neck and you're pulled straight up.
What's all this mishigas?
Never wander off on your own in a horror movie.
And all you guys hear is a scream from the first floor, and Hawk and Henry, you hear it too.
Holy crap, what's going on now?
Why do I always die? this is...
Henry, do you have a nice quiet office back at the university we could just go to?
Yeah, let's leave.
Let's leave. Make hang in there.
Fowler and group, would you like to run back upstairs?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Whatever's attacking me, I'd like to offer it a pop-up bunch of flowers.
Is there... Shouldn't whoever with me make a sanity roll for this?
Oh yeah, everyone will be doing sanity rolls by the end of this. Don't worry.
All right, so we're going to run around to see what's happened. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm going to guess everyone runs back to the first floor. You enter into the hallway, and all you see is Felix grasping at his neck, clawing at his neck, and he's dangling in the middle of the hallway. He's like close to the ceiling.
We look up to see what's grabbing him.
He's floating.
He's floating.
I pull out my gun and I shoot as if there were something there.
Okay. Pull out and you shoot, and Felix then drops to the ground. And he's gasping for air. Yep.
Do I take any damage from dropping to
the ground? We'll say you take one.
One.
And Hawk, you also hear a scream from upstairs. A female scream.
Oh.
When it doesn't rain, it pours, right?
I guess we got to rescue somebody else. So I just automatically run upstairs with my gun out.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go. I keep muttering the word Sabul, just in case it does.
Sabul. Yeah.
So does everyone run upstairs?
Yeah, I'll follow behind.
Yep. Are you going to stand down here, Felix, and have a smoke?
Do I need to make a sanity roll for just being levitated, or as a magician, am I quite used to the idea?
Like I said, we're gonna be making sanity rolls by the end of this. Don't worry, I'm keeping track.
I don't want to be on my own, so I'm gonna rush after them, gasping.
Okay. I guess I'll be going upstairs.
I'm getting my knives out. I'm ready.
I realized that there's somebody in distress upstairs. We heard a scream, and the other people are following me up the stairs, but halfway up the stairs, I stop dead in my tracks. I'm going to turn around, run back down the stairs,
okay,
go to the nearest fireplace, and grab the poker, the the big heavy metal iron poker, and I'm going to run into the ballroom and smash that fucking mirror.
Now here's what happens, because we got 1 minute, Hawk, and I'm going to guess everyone else is on the stairs.
So you really nailed me. We can go over if we need to.
Oh, no, I think this is going to be a good spot to end this on.
I thought we were... Are we going to go to another episode?
Oh, yeah, we'll go to another episode. Don't worry.
Okay.
So you grab the poker from the drawing room, you run into the foyer, and that's when everyone hears a huge smash, and Hawk, you look out the open front door, the car is flattened.
Nice.
Okay. I'm still heading towards that fucking mirror.
I'm not responsive.
But we'll end it on this note. There is no escape. The hunt begins.
Wow.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
So, let me go ahead and finish then. Wow. Our players included Corey Heistead, Sean Little, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, Wayne Worthy, and myself, with Thomas McKeon as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. Our musical intro, entitled Insidious, is provided royalty-free from Purple Planet Music. We are also providing audio-only versions of our shows, free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.